again, and that means it's time for the Burn 'Em Down podcast. This is the podcast for the Rolling Thunder Racing Series, Gen 4 racing at its best, and we got some updates for you on how well the season's going, and lots of good, clean racing. 94%, green flag laps after 7 weeks. So that's a heads up to this league and a heads up to the drivers. 7 weeks, five different winners, and this week we have our first three race winner of the season. So this is the Rolling Thunder Racing Series Burn 'Em Down podcast. It's produced by the Sim Racing Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Dreiss. This week we're going to take a look at week 7 and the review of Rockingham, and look forward to week 8 at another tough track Sunday night at Darlington. As always, we always start off with our driver spotlight, and tonight we have Luke Smith. He's driver number 39, and he finished P8 at Rockingham this week. Luke, congratulations on a top 10 finish, and how you doing tonight?
Thank you. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Can't complain. So you had a P8 finish in Rockingham. Were you satisfied with that, or where did you want to finish? Of course, you wanted to win, but were you happy with where you finished at P8?
I was happy with where I finished at P8. I felt like I could have done a little bit better. I felt like I could have run possibly fifth or sixth, and a little bit of it boiled down to I started pushing a little bit too hard at some points, and I just kind of wasn't managing my stuff as well as I had earlier in the race.
Oh, gotcha. I haven't raced Rockingham except maybe once. Tell me what it's like on the tires, and did you get enough mileage out of your tires as you planned? Or like you said, you might have pushed it too hard at some point, and did you have enough rubber to finish the race?
Yeah, it's a lot better in the Gen 4 car than some of the current NASCARs with the tire wear. The first two runs of the race, I felt really good. Like, the tires were wearing perfectly to my advantage, and I was gaining on guys that I didn't think that I would gain on and stuff like that. I mean, it's a really... Me, as compared to some of the stuff I had done in the past there, there was guys running the bottom line, but because of how much power the car makes, not everybody was just carving the bottom. There was guys up top. It was a lot of multi-groove racing.
Oh, cool. Is that common? Do you find that common at that track? Because I'm not, like I said, not that familiar. The only familiarity I really have with Rockingham is when I was about 8 or 9 to 15 years old, when we're driving down to Augusta, Georgia on vacation every summer. We drive by this big monstrosity of a racetrack, and I'm like, wow, that's really cool. So is there usually a lot of grooves, and which groove do you like to run?
From my experience, there's always been at least a high groove and a low groove. I had never seen the middle groove work until this race, really.
Wow.
But yeah, from my past experience, there's the guys that'll send it in up high and get really good runs down the straightaway, but then there's the guys that can just carve the bottom, and just toward the end of the run, they're just so much better than those guys up top. But I mean, throughout the race, everybody was holding their own respective of their line, and it was fun.
Sounds like it. You guys have it is a really competitive and an abnormally clean races with almost 94% green flag racing. What do you attribute that to?
I really like to attribute that to just how good the guys in this league are. Like, that I've raced some of these guys in the past, and yep. There's a lot of the guys that I haven't raced against, and just the talent level in this league is fantastic, and it's fun to compete, and it really helps with getting me better, because I see these guys who are better, rather than sometimes in other leagues you'll be in the top three and there'll be three guys that are better than everybody. But each week there's like 8 to 9 cars that the guys are so good that eight to nine guys have an opportunity to win the race.
That's pretty good. Do you run with a team?
Yeah, I'm part of the After Dark Racing. That's with Ryan Johnson, Randy Nichols, and Joshua Suss.
Cool. Do you guys practice during the week, or when do you come up with your strategy for each week, and does it change during the race?
Usually I don't really get too much practice in throughout the week. I know that Randy and Ryan and Josh will all go out to the practice sessions that Justin throws up.
Yeah.
But usually the strategy, you know, it's based off what the guys do in the practices and stuff like that. And usually I'll cobble my probably poorly put together race strategy. I'll put it together during qualifying.
That sounds like what I do. I run in Midwest Motorsports on Sunday nights, and there's not really any teams. I tried recruiting, getting some people to run with me, and it's just totally different from running in other leagues with teams. Your driving ability in After Dark with the other drivers, pretty equal, or are you spread across the board?
I'd say we're all we're all pretty good drivers, you know. Obviously, in my opinion, Ryan and Randy are head and shoulders above me and Josh, but me and Josh can still hold our own. And
cool.
I mean, racing with those guys has helped me get it very much better.
Yeah. Now, do you plan to do pit stops and tire changes together, or make any strategy changes like that during the race, depending on your position and cautions?
I know that I will usually, if I'm running like in about 10th position or so, and I feel that I have an opportunity to gain, I'll hop off the strategy if we have the ability to, because sometimes these races they're so tight on the pit windows that, you know, really you just got to go with all the rest of us. But
sure.
I'm not scared to throw a wrench in there and quick pit or run fully out when it's not necessarily necessary, just to have the freshest tires on the track. But
sure.
Yeah, for the most part, we're all pitting together and stuff like that. It's usually not planned, but we end up together.
Right. And where did you qualify for the race?
I believe I qualified 14th.
Okay.
It was in the mid-teens.
I got
really loose out of four on my good lap, and I was able to keep it straight, but it definitely cost me some time.
Gotcha. What's the toughest part of Rockingham? What turn?
Definitely one and two.
Okay. And what makes that the toughest?
Just the way that you're able to carry speed out of turn four, just finding a breaking point and being able to get it wowed down, because the you're carrying so much momentum, and the breaking point in one and two based off your tire wear is going to change it.
Sure.
It really makes it difficult to get there. And if you're a guy that's running the high line and you're trying to kind of arc it and come out exit on the bottom of two, it can definitely get really loose on you compared to three and four.
Got it. And as far as difficulty of driving, Rockingham, what other track do you say is comparable to it in driving, I guess, toughness to drive, however I should say that?
Well, I'll say for like bumpiness wise, definitely Atlanta.
Okay.
A couple weeks ago, it was very similar to that bump wise, but with traction and all that stuff, it's probably going to be similar to Darlington next week.
Okay, because you guys ran the Legacy at Atlanta 2 weeks ago, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that track's, oh my gosh, that track is horrible on tires.
Yeah, that one, that was a really good race for me.
It
kind of went tragic late, but I really like the bumpy tracks.
Yeah. So what do you like about the Gen 4 car versus, say, the Gen 7?
I really like a lot of how the car is not as aero-dependent as the other cars.
Mm-hmm.
It feels really good to actually be able to pull away from people rather than you might be saving your tires better, but for the first three quarters of the run, somebody will just be right on your tail, or they'll be attempting to pass you because they're able to hang in your wake and just get that run down the straightaway and all that. And, but like the Gen 4 car, if you're not saving your tires, and like you can still get in their wake, but it's not as much of a factor compared to the newer cars.
Yeah. So you feel like you actually have to drive the Gen 4 versus the Gen 7 to me is sometimes almost like a self-driving car. You really doesn't take that much to drive it as compared to like the Gen 4 or the Arca series.
Yeah. It's a very skill-based car, and if you're a skilled driver, it makes a world of difference. The Gen 7, you can have flaws and be able to get away with it.
True. Yeah, I find the tougher cars, like the Gen 4 and like the 87s, are one of my favorites. They're just so much fun to drive because you're on the edge all the time, and it's just to me it's a thrill ride. The Gen 7, it just seems to be what everybody's racing, and that's where a lot of leagues are. But we're starting to, you know, find like this series here, the Gen 4, and then there was a single late model I was running in. And once you get used to them, they're fun. Because, you know, the Gen 7 is just too smooth, too fast, and then you jump into Gen 4 and Arca, and it feels like you're driving a tank, which basically you are. So how did you find this series, the Rolling Thunder Racing series? How'd you come across Justin in the league?
Well, I was racing in a different league that I race in, and Ryan Johnson was in that league, and he threw up one of the posters that Justin had posted for one of the money races.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you know, a little bit of money couldn't hurt anybody. So I went ahead, I signed up for the money race, and I was committed to pushing a guy to the win, and all of a sudden a netcode happened right in front of me, and I ended up winning the money race. And just the performances of all the guys throughout the race, I thought maybe this is a league that I would actually really enjoy. And going through all the numbers and all that stuff and looking at the guys who were in the league, I definitely found it as something that I would be interested in, and it led to me signing up, and cool. I'm having a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, it sounds like it's he's got a great operation going here. It's like I saw the stats for today, like, you know, the 94% green flag race laps was just, I mean, unbelievable. I think we're running probably about 80% green flag in the other league, but 94 is just incredible. Plus the weekly paychecks, if you finish up near the top, is some pretty good beer money every week. That's a good incentive not to put in for a drop week, huh?
Oh yeah.
And prior to that, when did you get involved with iRacing or any other video racing?
So I originally got into iRacing back around when it came out in 2008. I wasn't old enough at the time to have my own account, but my father had an account, and he would get me in on the test sessions back when the Car of Tomorrow was the actual car that they raced.
Oh, wow.
And I would sit there in test sessions. I think one of the tracks I tested all the time was Bristol. And then I went on a hiatus for a few years, but I would still play the OG NASCAR 2003.
Yep.
And eventually 2020 came around, and I was sitting at home for a long time, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy a computer and get iRacing,
because
I really enjoy sim racing, and since then it's blossomed, and it's lit a fire under me to – I'm already a very competitive person, and meeting guys who are better than me, I want to get better and beat them.
Cool. And do you still go back and do any of the open lobbies or the official races, or are you all league now?
I'll run an official race every now and then. Recently, I don't do too much official racing because I found that once I hit a certain I rating, like I hit about 3,000 I rating, and the races that I ended up doing, they were just turning into wreck fests, guys overdriving stuff, and then like five laps in, you'd be getting punted for fifth place. It frustrated me. So
yeah,
primarily I'm a league, but every now and then somebody will catch me in an official race.
Yeah, pretty much the same here. I mean, I certainly not anywhere close to 3,000 I rating, but every time my goal was to get up to 1,500. And I mean, I race a lot, but I'm more casual about it. I want to do better, but it just seems that's where I'm going to peak. But every time I get close to like 1489, I get in a race, and like I said, you can lose 200 or 300 points in a day if you're going to, you know, race all day, or definitely can lose that much in a week. So I very rarely will do any of the official races. I think the only ones I've done in the past year were about a couple weeks ago, where I did two ARCA series when they were at Talladega, I think 2 weeks ago. I will jump in if I've got, don't want to spend an hour and a half racing. I'll jump in on the pickup cup or carburetor cup like that, or one of the road series, but definitely it's total league, because once you get in a league and you find a bunch of guys that you can race with that are good drivers and you get good league management, there's no reason to go race officials anymore, as far as I'm concerned, unless you want to destroy your I rating or make an attempt to get it up, because it, like you said, it can be a total crap show. Before that, any real racing that you've done? What got you interested in racing? Were you hanging around racetracks? And if so, who was your influence to get you involved?
So ever since I was young, on, I believe it was Saturday nights, there is a speedway that's local to me. It's called Hagerstown Speedway.
Oh yeah.
And we would go there, me and my dad would go there all the time, and
yeah,
just the sound of the engines, seeing the cars, seeing the drivers, it really sparked a passion for not even just racing, just wanting to work on the vehicles and, just do all that sort of stuff.
So did you get a chance to get on the other side of the wall and actually get the chance to work on cars?
I worked on, like, I'll work on my own cars and stuff, and
uh-huh,
I've helped some guys that I know work on their little hot rods. Like, one of my buddies' buddies is a track champion at Hagerstown.
Ah, cool.
And I had helped him a couple. I had helped my buddy do things that helped him work on the car.
Yeah.
A couple times, but I had never been directly been on the car or on the team.
Ah, okay. Would you still like to do that at some point if somebody offered it to you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I would love to get behind the wheel of one of those things and just wheel it around, whether it be on asphalt or on dirt.
Yeah.
Any of it. It's amazing to hear the sound of the cars revving up and rolling around the corners.
Yeah, I think it was back, gosh, I got to say, it was probably around 2008 when we started taking our two youngest kids, my daughter and my youngest son, are like, they're 18, actually a year and 20 days apart, and they wanted to go to a place up here called Lebanon Valley Speedway, which is a high bank dirt track, and it's one of the legendary road courses in New York, and Hagerstown, everybody up here knows Hagerstown too, and we just started going and going and going, and it got to be a Saturday night routine. My wife would go, and you know, we'd make an event out of it, because it was relatively cheap to get in. It's like $10. And they didn't rape you on the food. I mean, they're famous. They finally had to say, like, right after COVID, well, we're sorry, we got to raise our famous baked beans from 25 cents to 50 cents. I mean, hot dogs are $2. Beers are like $3. And the cheap seats are still about $10 to get in. So it's a good night out. And
absolutely.
I've never had a chance to work on cars, because you wouldn't want me near your car. That's how much I know about engines and stuff. The closest thing I did was, a friend of mine lives up in Albany, about 45 minutes north of where I am. He bought a brand new Chevy 3500 or something like that, four-wheel, dually, four-door, all jacked up, and whatever size trailer you put a modified in. And he gets on Facebook and he says, hey, I'm going to be working on the trailer 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Beer and pizza, come on up. So I went up and I told him, I said, "Jack, you don't want me working on your car?" I says, "You don't want me working on your trailer?" I says, "I'll hand you the screws and the screwdrivers, but keep me away from the saw." And he goes, "Oh, good, we're gonna have fun because I don't know anything either." But we worked on the trailer all day long, putting the benches in and the work benches and running some wiring, and it was a great time. And I said, "How do you back this thing in the driveway? What did you do?" And he says, "Well, I started out about a month before I bought the truck and the trailer, buying my neighbors pizza on Friday nights and sending their wives flowers and asking them not to park within 100 feet of my driveway till I learned to back this thing up." So, and then his other buddy bought the car, and that's their team. The owner of the car says, "You're not touching the car." Jack says, "You're not touching my truck." And I went over to Malta Speedway, Albany, Saratoga, up in Malta, which is I think half mile or quarter mile dirt track, and beautiful track, really nice facility. And I went up there to shoot some photographs of him working. And the owner's the driver, his daughter is underneath the car, and she's yelling at her dad, "Give me this wrench, give me that wrench." And she, looking at her, and go, "Can you fix my car too?" She was amazing what she was doing under that car. And Jack said, "Yeah, she's better than me," and Jack knows cars pretty well. As What about NASCAR or IMSA, F1, Indy? What's your favorite series there?
I'm mostly just a NASCAR guy, but I love watching IMSA and all that stuff. I really loved when I loved seeing the Le Mans car go out for NASCAR. That was great to hear that car out there ripping around. But yeah, it's prime. I primarily will watch NASCAR and some of the lower NASCAR series.
Actually, that NASCAR at Le Mans ended up doing pretty well, except it blew an engine near the end, didn't they?
I believe it ended up blowing. The gearbox blew out,
Oh, okay.
and they had to swap that out.
Yeah, but prior to that, they were. My son said that they were seemed to be doing pretty well in that race.
Oh yeah, they were flying past some of the GT3s and all that stuff.
Oh wow. Yeah, those are cool cars. IMSA comes to Lime Rock usually in the middle of July, and they brought back one of the LMP Batman cars, or whatever you call it, the prototypes that were over there this year. And I got a chance to see them a couple years ago at the 6 Hours at the Glen. And I used to watch them on TV, and I'm like, I don't know, man, those things are weird looking. But you see them drive, and they're like, oh my gosh, those things are spaceships, and they're on rails. These guys really know how to drive those things.
Yeah, there's a lot of downforce there to be had. And as a person who watches a lot of NASCAR, I'm not used to that kind of downforce. Scares me.
What's your favorite NASCAR track, and how many have you been to?
I've only ever been to one race, but it's to one of my two top favorite tracks. My two favorite are probably Richmond and Martinsville. And I'd been to a Richmond race at one point.
Yeah, we went to Richmond once. It was a road trip. We left up here, I think, at 3 o'clock on Saturday morning. We got to Richmond at 11 o'clock in the morning, and it was a night race. And my son says, "Why did we leave so early?" I said, "That's the question I'm asking you." So we had to find something to do at the track for about 6, 7 hours before the race started. And we went to Martinsville twice. Both times were pretty epic races. One, we were on another quick weekend road trip. We went down to Augusta, Georgia to surprise my mother and father, who are on vacation down there at a family reunion. My mother's got 10 brothers and sisters down there, and nobody knew we were coming except for a couple of us. So we went down on Friday night and stayed till Saturday. Left Augusta, Georgia on Sunday morning at 5 in the morning. It was 60, about 60 degrees, really nice morning. We pull into Martinsville, and this is in October. It was about 38 degrees and light snow, and we froze our butts off. But it was an epic finish and a big wreck at the end. And then 2 years ago, we went down, And that's when Hamlin got into it with either Bowman or Byron at the end, because one of them won and they were basically doing the tug of war or something like that. It right in front of us, and again, fun track, but you got to catch the weather right, because one the October weekend with second time was beautiful. The first time it was a nightmare. We basically froze. So got to say that's where we've seen some of the best racing is at Martinsburg. Favorite track on my end would be Watkins Glen. It's about a 4 hours from us, and been camping in the infield for the last 8 or 9 years. Then we've been to Dover, been to Richmond, and Loudon up in New Hampshire. I got some tracks I'd love to, of course. I want to go to Talladega. I want to go to Darlington. Which track that you haven't been to that you would go in a heartbeat?
I would, if they can get the short track package right, I would love to go to a New Hampshire race.
Ah, okay.
But I'd really love to go down and watch the Daytona 500
Yep.
because that's always a crazy weekend. All the fireworks, you got
Yep.
just all the crazy, you'll always have a crazy finish at the Daytona 500
Pretty
because
much,
first
yep.
race of the season, everybody's starting fresh and they've
Yep.
had the entire off season to prep for it.
Yeah, that's true. I haven't been down there. My son went down with some friends during, I think it was the 24 hours of Daytona or whatever that 24-hour race is. And he says walking out on that track, the banking, he says it's insane how high the banking is and how steep it is. So that's definitely on the bucket list. So, what are your plans looking forward to Darlington?
It's usually not one of my better tracks, but I'm hoping for at least a top 10 finish. I'd like to qualify a little bit better because my qualifying efforts this season have been horrible. I usually don't practice fast laps. I practice a lot of longer runs and
Yeah.
getting my fuel numbers right and making sure how long I can go and how hard I can push and all that stuff, but hopefully I can qualify a little bit better this week. I'll definitely put some time into actually putting down some fast laps rather than focusing solely on the long run.
Yep. How often have you raced Darlington?
Usually only when it pops up in the league. I love the track. I love all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm never like, hey, let's go race Darlington. But I definitely like the track. I like the skill that it takes to run it. I just, for some reason, I've always got the desire to run a short track or something that doesn't quite have a one and two that's crazy fast, and then a three and four where it's like a short track.
Anything different you're gonna do this weekend compared to other times you've run it that you know of, or you kind of see how the track wears and how the competition is?
I'm gonna leave a little bit of it to the competition. I'm definitely gonna figure out my strategy a little bit better than I have the rest of the season. I'm gonna get some numbers off of fuel runs and get some tire numbers and all that stuff before practice, before the practice that comes before the race, so that I'm better prepared and actually know what I'm doing before hopping into one of the more challenging tracks in the NASCAR circuit.
Yeah, what makes Darlington, I have a hard time running it. I run it probably 4 or 5 times a year and just can't figure it out. What do you think makes that track so hard or so challenging at least?
Personally, the thing that I struggle with the most is, especially when it comes to three and four, just getting my exit right, which it all starts at the entrance of the turn, not driving it in too deep, all that stuff. But I really struggle on corner exit. Like I'll be great through one and two, get a great exit out of there, but definitely backing up the corners to help get that run off is a challenge for me.
Yeah, and it's also a pretty tough track on tires, isn't it?
Yeah, if you're not careful, you'll get that wear warning for my racing in like 20 laps.
That's not good because you guys don't get that many tires for each race, do you?
No,
Yeah.
I forget if it's two or three sets in the pits.
Yeah. Okay. And I know you don't get a lot of, is there any quick repairs or none at all?
We don't run any quick repairs.
All right, so you definitely got to take care of your car and your tires there as well.
Yeah, you can't go in there Chastain in three and four. As much as awesome as that would be,
Yeah.
yeah, you can't go in there and do that.
Oh man, that was incredible. I mean, even Hamlin at the end of that race looked at him, and as much as he probably hates him and they hate each other, he's just like, "Well, can you say it was a good move?" He just looked like he, oh, that somebody stole his birthday cake or something like that. And he says, "That was incredible. I'm sorry, we'll never see that again. That's for sure."
Yeah,
That was.
especially since it's been outlawed, the first and only to even think about trying that.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, what are you gonna do? If there's a time at the race where, okay, what we're doing isn't working. We got to do something, either do something smart or do something stupid and see which one works. He went for stupid. It turned out to be pretty smart because it was a dangerous move. He could have, like most times you get on the wall, you can't get off, but somehow he figured out to get it and speed it up. That was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you're just tuned in, we're talking with Luke Smith. He drives car number 39 in the Rolling Thunder Racing Series. Good finish at P8 at Rockingham, and looking forward to this weekend at Darlington. Hey, before we finish up the driver spotlight, do you have any sponsors or teammates or people you want to give a shout out to and thank for any support or anything?
Well, I'd like to thank Justin for putting on this league. It's been really good. It's definitely, I've been able to tell that with the group of competitors that we have, that I've been becoming a better driver, and the Gen 4 car has challenged me in ways that I don't think the racing service had ever challenged me on before. I'd really like to thank Ryan, Randy, and Josh because they're all there usually on Sundays, and just racing against them makes me a better driver. And then you add the other guys into the field, like the Everhearts and the Weatherholts. They're all great. And I'd lastly like to thank my painter, John Peterson. He makes great paints. I gotta get more of his paints for the Gen 4 car because the Crown Royal car is beautiful. But we have some other paint schemes on some other cars that are really good too.
Ah, cool. And what are your favorite sponsors or brands you like to put on your car?
We have a lot of Crush cars, as in the soda. And we have a inverted color Kermit that we call Kremit, and it's usually drinking whatever flavor Crush is on the car. And
That's pretty cool.
a lot of those cars come out really good. And especially if you throw it on somebody like Ryan's car, which John has made a couple cars for Ryan, it can really throw somebody off.
So if somebody wants to get a hold of John for painting, how would they do that? Just look him up. Does he have a paint shop name?
He goes under the name of John Gambit Designs. I
Okay.
believe you can contact him on Facebook. But yeah, I believe it's through Facebook that he
Cool.
does that.
All right.
He does fantastic work, and originally I used to pay him for paint schemes, and then we became really good buddies, and now I get the buddy discount, which is
There you go.
fantastic.
I gotta give a shout out to anybody that's in the broadcasting end of iRacing, the paint shop business, or the setup business, because you definitely 99% of the guys out there are not getting paid what they're worth. I mean, a good paint job, you get these guys doing paints for 10, 15, $20 that should be 50 or 60, but of course there's very few people that are going to pay that much. It's like the broadcasters. You get a guy that puts 2 hours into it, broadcasting a race for 35 or $40, should be 145, but of course at this level, very few people are going to pay that. So shout out to all those paint shop guys out there and broadcasters and setup shop guys and league owners, because it's tough to get sponsorship, and we do it mostly for the love of racing, I think, and it's a lot of fun. Luke Smith, driver number 39, P8 at Rockingham. Good luck this weekend at Darlington, and thanks for stopping by and sharing your racing story with us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, have a good week.
Thank you, you too.
Bye-bye. Speaking of racing, we're going to take a review of this week at Rockingham. Third win of the season, and he's also the league points leader. Number 90, Daniel Eberhard III. And I think this is his third win in a row, winning Week 5, 6, and 7. Congratulations, Daniel Eberhard III, driver number 90, on your third win of the season at Rockingham in the Rolling Thunder Racing Series. Take a look at the review of Rockingham. I'm going to go through the top 10. As we just mentioned, driver of car number 90, Daniel Eberhard, finished in P1. Dylan C. Jones, driver of car number 3, finished in P2. Ryan Johnson, car number 38, finished in third position. Colin Weatherholt, number 20, finished in P4. Matthew Robinson drives car 34. He finished in P5. Sixth position in car number 15 goes to Jared Mogard. He's been a past guest on the show. Jacob Manning finished in P7. He drives car number 9. Luke Smith, our guest tonight, finished in P8. Driver of car number 39. Jason D. Mann's car number 12. He finished in ninth position and rounding out the top 10. Another familiar name, Scott Crump in the number 11. And he finished in P10. If you were on last night or listening last night, we had Bo Condon and Justin Clapper on talking about a charity race that they're doing, a pretty important one that they're doing this week at Watkins Glen. It's called the Turkey Trot at the Glen, and it's benefiting Barks, which is a Baltimore, Maryland animal rescue and care service, as well as Feeding America, because you can't feed the pups if you don't feed the people. $15 per driver to get in, running all three classes, trucks, Xfinity, and Gen 7 cars. And based on entrance, if you win first place in each class, you get $100. Little different format. It's a 3-hour endurance race, and green flag drops at 7 p.m. on Saturday, but opening ceremonies and all afternoon practice and other festivities begin at noon. Little change as a competition caution halfway through the race at 8:30 to regroup, to give sluggards and slow drivers a chance to get back in and get a good start, and a final flag at 9:30 to rack everybody up once again, and then a 30-minute sprint to the finish. It's $15 to get in, and you can also, if you're not running the race, for $10, you can get into a sweepstakes where you got a chance of winning prizes, $500 worth of video services from RL Productions, that's with Bo Condon, $150 towards the Rusty Wallace Racing Experience, or a $100 gift card to Omaha Steaks. So some pretty good stuff for a great organization, Barks, the Baltimore Animal Rescue and Care Service, as well as Feeding America. That's the Turkey Trot at the Glen this Saturday. And if you're interested in supporting or running, just look up Thunderclap Racing, Thunderclap Racing Series, or Thunderclap Racing Exhibition, or RL Production, or Bo Condon on Facebook and say, hey, I want to race. I want to help out. They got a Discord set up and everything like that. For Turkey Trot at the Glen this Saturday, practice opens at 12 p.m. Green flag is at 7. Taking a look at some season stats for this week after Rockingham at week 7. So far, number of laps completed, 918 laps. Only 14 laps of cautions. Number of cautions, 14. Caution laps, 69, leading to a percentage of green flag laps, 93.8%. It doesn't get much better than that. Also, check this out. After 7 weeks, 109 lead changes. Very competitive, clean racing, and a congratulation goes out to Justin for putting this league together and all the drivers for just smart drivers, clean drivers, and incredibly competitive driving. So even though we have one person with three wins so far this season, there are still five different winners after 7 weeks. Can't be much more competitive than that. Let's take a look at the standings after week seven. As we just mentioned, Daniel Eberhard with three wins, 246 points, is in P1. Colin Weatherholt, not too far behind him with 222 points, is in P2. Dylan Jones with one win in P3 with 221 points. With one win, 214 points. Jared Mogard in P4. Scott Crump, who finished in P10 this week at Rockingham, is in P5 with one win, 205 points. Jason Mainz has one win, 198 points in P6. Ryan Johnson has 192 points in P7. Matthew Robinson in P8 with 188, and right on his rear bumper is Michael Larch with 187 points in P9. Rounding out the top 10 is Seth Reed with 181 points. He's in P10. Luke Smith, our guest tonight, not too far out of the top 10 there after his finish P8 this week. He's in P11 in the point standings with 178 points. Matthew Molnar with 174 is in P12. Randall Nichols is in 13th position with 167 points. Jason Barabe with 165 points is in P14. And Jacob Manning has 160 points in P15. 16th position is Lane Doyle with 159 points. 17th is Beau Tiffany. He was on the show a couple weeks ago with 145 points. Dean Gagliano in P18 with 138 points. 19th position is Drew Ballesteros with 132 points. Not too far back, rounding out the top 20, Brenton Barker with 128 points. 21st position, Trevor Williams with 123 points, followed by Joshua Suss with 108 points in P22. William Schwendenhammer, 82 points, is in 23rd position. Jared Hayes in 24th with 78 points. Darwin Hansen, 62 points, owns P25. Sean Corcoran with 51 points is in 26th. John Ellis Jr. with 24 points is in P27. And rounding out the standings after week seven in the Rolling Thunder Racing Series, Jason Kelly, P28 with 13 points. Next week's race, week eight, Darlington, 133 laps, will be, of course, broadcast as every race is on the Global Sim Race Channel. Darlington Raceway, established in 1950, is 1.366 miles in length with a fan capacity of 47,000, asphalt surface. It's owned by NASCAR from 2019 till present, International Speedway Corporation prior to that. From 1982 to 2019, it was opened in September 1950, and current track president is Josh Harris. And you can also look up any other information at darlingtonraceway.com. That's the Gen 4 series this week, Sunday evening, Darlington, 133 laps, and looks like a break there for Thanksgiving week, and then we'll be back at Bristol for a 250-lap race on December 3rd. And once again, the Turkey Trot at the Glen, Saturday practice starts at noon, fundraising for Baltimore Area Animal Rescue Care and Service and Feeding America. Another fundraising race put on by BMRL Esports is a Toys for Tots race that's going to take place Saturday, December 9th, 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Central, Green Flag Trucks at Las Vegas. All proceeds go to Toys for Tots. If you're interested in joining or want to make a donation, do it on PayPal at BMRL Toys for Tots. If you're interested in running in the race that evening, just look up BMRL Esports online or Chris Mayo on Facebook to get some more information. That race will be broadcast by the BMRL Network. on YouTube. The Burn 'Em Down Podcast with Greg Dreis, your host, is produced by the Sim Racing Podcast. Burn 'Em Down Podcast is the official podcast of Rolling Thunder Motorsports, and podcast is available live on Twitch, later on Spotify and YouTube, as well as all the major podcast platforms. Twitch address is twitch.tv/Greg Dreis. YouTube, just look up the Sim Racing Podcast, Greg Dreis, and on Spotify, look up the Burn 'Em Down Podcast, Sim Racing Podcast, or Joe Sixpack Racing Podcast. Good luck out there this weekend at Darlington, and happy Turkey Day, everybody, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Actually, we'll be back on Monday night, just before Thanksgiving break, and then it's off to Bristol. Until then, have yourselves a good week, and we'll catch you on the track. Good night.